Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
And so like last week, you might be wondering, you know, this is supposed to be about me and God. And so why aren't we, have we got people saying, I'm sorry. Last week, we learned this truth, that to get things right with God, it's absolutely essential you get things right with people. So Jesus said, you leave your gift at the altar if you're going to offer it to me. And first go and be reconciled if you know that you owe somebody an apology. If you need to make it right with them, you need to be able to go to them and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'll do whatever it takes to never do that to you again. What can I do to make it right? And so some people have been doing that this week. It's been beautiful that God's been moving through you to go out and do that. This week, though, is about the person who's on the other side of that, the person who's on the side of, I'm waiting on that apology. I'm on the side of needing to forgive. And it leads you at that same place, at the altar. I remember when 22 years old, brand new pastor, I was in a church that did not have an office. And so the first time I had somebody call and say they wanted to meet with me, we actually met in the church building. It was a lady who came, Becky, and we sat in front of the altar there. We took two of those old metal folding chairs and set them out in front of the altar, and we began to talk. And she, I thought, was going to say something about, you know, maybe I've done some things that need to be forgiven for, or maybe how can I begin a relationship with Christ? Well, I knew she had already begun a relationship, it felt, but there was something missing in her life, and I'm thinking she's looking for that. Well, she pulled out a piece of paper, and that piece of paper, she had written some things. And that happens a lot for pastors when somebody's coming to talk. They don't want to forget. And so she started her list. She said, I want to tell you about Susie. Now, I knew Susie, her sister. Everybody loves Susie. She said, you just don't know Susie. She said, from the time we were little girls, she would pinch me and bite me and pull my hair. And then whenever mom would come into the room, she would cry as though I hurt her and I would get in trouble. She said, as we kept growing up, she was always twirling and dancing and telling stories, and everybody thought she was so cute. Nobody knew how mean she really was. She said, I didn't even know how mean she really was until I was in high school. And she said, I finally had somebody that loved me. It was a boy that I loved with all of my heart, and I felt like he loved me too. But Susie would flirt with him every time she was around him, and it just raged, jealousy would just fill my heart whenever that would happen. She said, and then one day, I was coming home from band practice late, and Robert's car was already at the house. My parents weren't there, so it meant Susie had let him in. I already had this knot in my stomach as I opened the door and called their names, and neither of them answered. She said, as I walked down the hallway toward Susie's room, the door was closed. She said, and when I opened that door, and then she just broke down, she started crying. She said, she took him from me. She took him from me. He loved me, and she took him. She said, 2 weeks later, Susie was with somebody else. She didn't care about him. She didn't love him. All she wanted to do was take him from me. And that wasn't all, she said. As Susie grew up, her children were the adorable, wonderful, always winning super kids. And my kids were looked down on by my mother. My mother always thought Susie could do no wrong. And it was just wrong the way that Susie played my mama against me, she said. And then when my mom was sick with cancer, I took care of her. I moved in with her and took care of her for years. And then she said, and then in the last 2 months of my mother's life, Susie says, I think mama needs to come and stay with me. She talked mama into coming and staying with her because she could so-called get better care there with hospice. She said, but in reality, all Susie was doing was trying to get my mama to her so she could talk her into changing her will. And that's what she did. She changed her will and she took me and my children out of the will and kept Susie and her children in the will. And she said, and then whenever mom died, she had said, mom, if you'll just leave your home, to Becky, that's all Becky would really want. And she said it was a mobile home. It was probably worth $2,000. It was a rat hole. She said, and now I'm just so full of just pain and rage over what's been done to me. And she said, I'm needing to know what to do. And here's the reality is over 32 years of ministry, that conversation is the most common conversation. It's not always a sister or a brother. Sometimes it's a husband or a wife or a father or a son or daughter, or sometimes it's a coworker or a good friend. Sometimes it's a boyfriend or girlfriend or maybe a coach or whoever. But there's always that point where somebody's at a place where they're going like, God, look at what they've done to me. And somebody's coming basically to the pastor to say, surely God's got to be on my side in this. And so not just for 32 years has that been the case. It's been that case for 2,000 years, all the way back to when Peter came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21 and going through 35. If you want to follow along, we're using NIV, the new NIV, as we go through this. But Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or in some translations, 70 times seven. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the man fell on his knees, or the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that man went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. That his fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. But he refused. He went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. And they went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And then the servant's master, in anger, it says, in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And then Jesus said this, this is how my Father in heaven, or my Heavenly Father, will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And so Peter's got to be standing there going like, well, wait a minute. When I said, you know, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Up to seven times. It was still very generous. And probably Peter had somebody in mind who was on their number 8 or 10 or 12. You know, it might have been James or John, one of the sons of thunder. It might have been Judas. Everybody knows he was a jerk. It could have been anybody. But he's just thinking, surely God's going to say, I understand. Surely Jesus is going to say, yeah, there comes a point when they've done too much. They owe you. And when Jesus would be on my side and he would say, yeah, you don't have to keep forgiving them. And so, but instead he's going like, I've got this list of things that have been done to me. What do I do with that now? What is Jesus saying about that? And so the same way with Becky, as Becky's sitting in that little metal chair in front of that altar in that little church building in the mountains of Kentucky, and she's got her list. And she's looking at that list. Look at yours, accounts receivable, what they did, what they owe to me. Now, you don't have to literally write it on there, but in your mind, transfer onto that sheet. You know what you're thinking right now about somebody. And it might be a husband or wife or a friend, or it might be a boss or a coworker or whoever, but you're going like, this is what they did to me, and this is what they owe to me. But then, what is Jesus saying right now? What's he saying to me about what's on my list? Well, the answer he was saying to Peter, whenever he told him, not seven times, but 77 times or 70 times seven, he's not saying, well, forgive 490 times and then quit. He was saying this. He's saying, you shouldn't be counting. Who's counting? Why are you counting, Peter? You shouldn't even have a list. And by the time I'm finished with you, you're not going to want a list. You're going to want to get rid of your list by the time I'm finished with you. And then he turns the tables, and in this parable, he basically says, Peter, you're the one who owes the 10,000 bags of gold. You're the one that owes a debt to me that you could never begin to repay. You and I just fail to see how great our debt is. So you turn that page over. He turns the page over. He says, Peter, you got your list of what they did to you, but I want you to see the other side, not your accounts receivable. I want you to see your accounts payable. I want you to see what you owe to me. And he's saying, look, that debt is beyond what you could ever repay. And you and I just have this tendency to underestimate our debt. How many people underestimate your financial debt? Anybody besides me? You start running it up and all of a sudden you go, what? I really owe this much now? We all live in that Psalm 37 verse 2. In our own eyes, we flatter ourselves too much to detect or hate our sin. We just don't think we are that bad, and we don't think we owe that much. I want you to know that you were born inheriting a debt that was infinitely greater than you could ever pay. You were born in sin, and the truth is you could never repay the debt that you just inherited in your birth. But beyond that, from the moment of your birth, according to Psalm 51, you've been sinful from the time your mother conceived you, and so have I. And so as you look at those numbers and those dates, every date that I've ever lived, I've just added to that debt. And every single thing that I've added to it brings me to a place to where there is no way that I could ever repay it. So those 10,000 bags of 70-pound bags of gold, Jesus was just saying, you owe too much. And your whole life, you could not pay for it. It wouldn't be enough to sell you into slavery. You'd have to sell your wife and your children and everything you got, and it still wouldn't pay back. Peter, you owe me too much. And so the first thing Jesus is saying is, Peter, before you worry about what they owe you, I want you to understand what you owe to your Father in heaven. And if you truly got hold of that, it would drive you to your knees, just like that servant. You would fall to your knees and beg him. And Peter, until you're in a place where you're compelled to your knees to say, I owe you more than I can pay, you're never going to be able to get it. And it was the same thing for Becky. Until Becky was compelled to slide out of that metal folding chair and down onto that altar herself before God and say, I owe you more than I could ever pay you, she'd never truly be able to get hold of how to deal with the other side, with what was owed to her. You've got to know the greatness of your debt. And if you don't understand that somehow before you leave this place, you're going to need to be compelled within your heart, drawn inextricably to this altar here to fall on your knees and say to God, I owe you more than I could ever repay. Well, first you need to understand, and Jesus knew that Peter needed to understand, look, before you start talking about what somebody owes you, if you got to get hold of what you owe God, how great your debt is. But the other thing you got to get hold of is this, is how great his grace is. You got to get hold of the reality of what he has done or will do when you finally do meet your knees. And you do say, I realize that I've got a debt that's just beyond comprehension. What's he going to do then? And you say, well, I know what he's going to do. He's going to have mercy on me. Well, the truth is that what you think he's going to do and what he really desires to do, what you think he did and what he really did are usually two different things. You got to notice the difference between what this man asked for and what God gave him. When you look at verse 26, he says, what? Be patient with me. I beg you, be patient with me, and I'll pay back everything. That word, makrothumason, is like an extension of time. Just give me some time. Be patient with me, and I'll pay back everything. That's where most of us are when we think about God's grace and his forgiveness. What you think you're doing when you come to God is you say, yeah, I owe you some. Just give me some time, and I'll make it right. Just give me some time and I'll get good enough. Just give me some time and I'll make up for it. Just give me some time and that's what I'm looking for. And you think that's what he's giving. And what he said to this servant is he looked at him and he had pity on him. He's going, dude, you couldn't pay this back. Your whole life couldn't pay this back. Your life plus your wife's life plus your children's lives could not pay this debt back. And so I have compassion on you. I have pity on you. I'm going to cancel your debt and send you away. He said, I'm going to send you away debt-free. But here's what happens with us is like this guy, apparently, you leave not realizing what he's done for you. This precious woman, Becky, as she's sitting here, Jesus had such pity for her. The Bible says that he sympathizes with their weaknesses, that he's been tempted in every way just as she was, yet was without sin. Jesus was wronged. Jesus was falsely accused. Jesus was abused. Jesus went through everything she had been through and had compassion so that she could approach his throne of grace with confidence. And so he had all this mercy and compassion for her. And during the many times I had seen her land at an altar and kneel down and pray, he was there every time saying, let me forgive you. Let me cancel your debt. Let me get it out of the way. But she had always gotten up thinking, I've got some more time to make it right. So how about you? Do you realize the true magnitude of your debt to God? And do you realize the true magnitude of his grace toward you and what he really wants to do toward your debt? He wants to cancel it. He doesn't want to give you more time. But when we go out thinking He's given us more time, you've got to understand this. The relationship between your account payable and your accounts receivable. The relationship between what people owe to you and what you owe to God. This is what they did to me and this is what they owe me. This is what I did to God and this is what I owe Him. The relationship between those two is profound and powerful in the mind of a human being. It's just like the relationship between the debts that you owe and the people who owe you. What would happen right now if you owed a huge debt and all of a sudden the banker calls your loan and says, you got to pay it all back right now. You know what you would immediately start thinking is, who owes me? Right? If I think that I owe him, my immediate question is going to be, who owes me? I got to run some accounts right now. I got to go and get people who owe me money and I got to say, pay me. It's because you owe me that I owe him. If you would pay me, I could pay him. Does that make sense? When it comes to debt, when it comes to that piece, what I owe, if all of a sudden I'm called in and I've got to pay what I owe, I'm immediately going to think, who owes me? And it's the exact same way. That's what happened with this servant. This servant goes out and he finds a fellow servant that owes him 100 silver coins and he grabs him and begins to choke him, pay back what you owe me. That's exactly what we do because we feel like, man, I owe God. And the reason I owe God is I start to think, who owes me? Why is it that I owe God? Watch what happened with this precious lady. I mean, she's sitting here. She's like, what am I going to do about all this stuff that my sister's done to me? And her idea, once she began to see the gravity and the depth of what she owed to God and how much that she owed for what was going on in her heart, she immediately thinks about her sister. And she's thinking, it's because of her. It's because of her. So yes, I'm filled with jealousy, and I know that jealousy is one of the acts of the sinful nature, right? And I've got that. But the reason that I'm jealous, the reason that I owe that debt for my jealousy to God is because of what she did to me. If it weren't for what she owes me, I wouldn't owe God. And yes, I feel greedy over money, but it's because she took from me my inheritance. And yes, I have these thoughts of hatred and bitterness and sometimes even murderous thoughts, but it's because of the way she's hurt me. If she would pay me, then I wouldn't owe God because then I would be okay. The reason I am the way I am is because they owe me. They hurt me. And we all do it. We all do it. There are husbands sitting in here right now saying, yes, I lust after other women. Yes, I go on the internet to porn. Yes, I have fantasies about being with somebody else, but it's because my wife is so unaffectionate to me. She hasn't shown me affection in years. It's because she owes me that I owe God. And if she would pay me what I deserve, then I wouldn't owe God. If she would just show me affection, I wouldn't be a lustful person. There are people sitting here right now. There's women here who go, yes, I know the truth that I have all this. I treat my husband with disrespect and I don't show him honor like the Bible says that I should be honoring him and respecting him. But that's because he has ignored me. That's because he has hurt me. That's because he has broken me. I owe God because he owes me. If he would give me what he owes me, if he would show me kindness and if he would show me attention, then I wouldn't be who I am. There are kids here right now who are in this position that says, yes, I disrespect mom and dad, but the reason I disrespect them is because they're always down on me. They're always harping on me. It's because of them that right now I owe God for dishonoring my parents, but I owe them because my parents are too hard on me. They're too strict on me. They're not good to me. You can just keep going down the list. The reason, yes, I take money from the company, but it's because they don't pay me enough. If they paid me enough, then I wouldn't be taking money from them. If you paid me what I really deserve, if it weren't for those guys who beat me up, I wouldn't feel racist feelings like I did. If it weren't for what they owe me, I wouldn't owe God for my racism. Do you get the picture? You just go through that picture and you go, wait a minute. My idea is that somehow the reason I am the way I am and the reason I have the step to God is because of what they did. It's because my daddy beat me that right now I can't control my rage and I hurt my own children. I hurt my own wife. If it weren't for dad, if it weren't for what he owes me, then I wouldn't owe this to God. And if dad would just be who he's supposed to be to me, if he would somehow make that up to me, Even though he's dead, if somehow God would make that up to me, something to pay off that, then I wouldn't know God anymore. But it's because of him that I am the way I am. You're sitting here and you're addicted and you're strung out and you're saying, yeah, but it's the way that mom treated me. Mom treated me. She never loved me. She never affirmed me. She was always down on me. And that's the reason I have to stay high all the time. And so right now you're in this place where that list, like it was for Becky, you're on that list and you're thinking, here's the deal, is that this list, if I could just get all this done, if people would just pay me what they owe me, if they would pay me the respect they owe me, if they would pay me the money they owe me, if they would pay me the kindness that they owe me, if they would give me the apology they owe me, if they would just give me what they owe me, then I wouldn't be this person. I wouldn't be jealous. I wouldn't be filled with rage. I wouldn't be filled with greed. I wouldn't be this person that I am. I wouldn't be abusive if they would just do what they're supposed to do. Everybody get the picture? And so I've got to get paid back. Just like the man who says, I owe a huge debt. Pay me what you owe me. Because if you'll pay me, I can pay them, because it's because of you that I owe them, and you do the same thing. And so you're saying, I demand that you pay me. And sometimes that's through revenge. You're just saying, I had a friend, Mr. Rubin, that's a Christ follower. He said, but before I became a Christ follower, he said, if somebody hurt me, I got them back. It was like the only way I could feel good about and feel about like everything was okay. I had to just get what I felt like was justice. I just got them back. And if somebody takes money from me, I'm going to get money from them. If they take my job, I'm going to get their job. I'm going to get what's, I got to make it right. And some of you are saying, yeah, that's me. I get even. My husband hurts my feelings. I hurt his feelings back worse. Right? My friend talks trash about me. I talk trash about them. I do whatever it is to get back and get even. But other people here are going like, thank God that's not me, because I'm a forgiving person. And I'm a real forgiving person. And so the reality is that I never try to seek revenge. And therefore, I know that I'm always forgiving. Let me clue you in on something. The fact that you don't take revenge in no way means that you forgive. Just because you hadn't hit him over the head with the frying pan, that doesn't mean that you have forgiven him. Because here's what we do, especially people who are good people, nice people, is that what we think they owe us is love. I've done all this for you. I've cleaned up your vomit after you got drunk and got sick over and over and over again. And one day you're going to love me for that. One day you're going to appreciate what you do. You have hit me again and again. And every time you've hit me, I've still come back and I've stayed with you and I didn't leave you in jail. And so you should one day come before me and say, you are precious and I love you and I'll never hurt you again. And I'll give you the love that you deserve. All over the place, there are those of us who basically we think we've forgiven, but we aren't really forgiving at all. All we've done is make a notation on accounts receivable. Look at all these things that I've done for you. And look at how I've been good even when you've been bad. I've done 10 times more work than I should have done. I've had to take care of the house and take care of the children and do everything else. Well, you went out and played golf. And one day you're going to come to me and say, you're awesome, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, I owe you everything. Let me take over and work for the next 10 years to pay you back. But it never happens. And so this person never shows you the love that you're anticipating one day they'll show. They never show you the appreciation you think they one day should show you. You keep building up this account. They owe you so much love that you think, now I'll feel love forever. But the problem is you never feel love because they never give it to you. I've worked overtime for this company and been underpaid forever, and I'm expecting that one day they're going to promote me. One day they're going to see my value. One day they're going to give back to me for all I've given to them, but they don't. And what happens? You get bitter. And before you know, these people that you think that you love and that you're saying you're being so good to and that you've forgiven, you despise them. You hate them. You're in a place where you're so bitter and so angry because I have done so much and you have paid me none of the love, none of the appreciation, none of the respect, none of the payback that you should have done for all I've done for you. And so how many people here would have to acknowledge, man, I've lived that. I've lived that. And I've been in a place where I've got this record. And the relationship between what I owe to God and what they owe to me has made it so that I'm walking around all the time saying, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me. And somehow that's going to make it so I'm right with God, because I think that the relationship between what I owe to God and what they owe to me is like somebody who owes money and somebody who owes them money. If I just get it from you, I'll get it to him and I'll be okay. But what it does is just the opposite, because how God sees the relationship between those is exactly the opposite of what you think it is. My collecting on what they owe to me does not lessen my debt to God. It increases it, because what happened was people saw that this person was unforgiving and God has shown this great mercy. They were outraged. They told the master, and what happened? The master called him in and said, "Look, I forgave all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have shown mercy to your fellow servant just as I showed mercy to you?" In anger, his master turned him over or handed him over to the jailers to be tortured. Here's the reality. God's view toward this is this. He's saying, you owe a debt that you could never repay to me, and the price that I paid to pay that debt was my son went to a cross to die for you. And so when you come to me and you ask me to forgive you and you ask for mercy and you ask for caring, I don't give you an extension of time so you could make it up, because you could never make it up. But my son went to a cross to die for you so that I could cancel your debt and send you out debt free. And if you leave with that having been done for you, and you go out and you grab somebody else and you say, you owe me, then I want to tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that right back on your account. He said, I'm going to make you pay back everything, and guess what? You'll never be able to do it. So guys, listen to this truth. Jesus, when he was, how many people here have ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Anybody ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? In the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debts, or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who owe us, our debtors. In Matthew 6:12, where Jesus makes that beautiful statement, and he says, in your prayer, you should say, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. God, cancel my debt as I cancel the debts of others, or have canceled the debts of others. God, would you do that for me? He went on to write this in verse 14 and 15. In verse 14, he says, look, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, we want you to forgive us as we forgive others, and we want you to keep the devil out of our lives and keep this mess out of us. He says, for if you forgive others when they sin against you, your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive others' sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive yours. It's just that simple. So here's the piece that Peter's realizing from Jesus. It's my list is not taking off what I owe to God. My list is guaranteeing I'm going to have to pay what I owe to God, and I could never pay that. I'm going to be tortured as a result of that. And so many of us are tortured. You've been tortured for years. You've been tortured for years thinking, if they would just pay me what they owe me, I would be all right and my life would be okay. But it's not, because they won't pay me what they owe me. And your life is tortured. You're miserable. And you're going to be miserable for eternity in hell because you are holding on to the debt that they owe you. And you're not receiving what Jesus wants to give to you, which is to completely cancel your debt and set you completely free. And so God is saying to Peter through Jesus, Jesus is saying, look, Peter, I want you to understand that I promise you don't want that list, buddy. You don't want that list. You don't want to keep count. You want to get rid of that count because God wants to get rid of yours. He wants to get rid of yours, and if he gets rid of yours, you got to get rid of theirs. And if you want to keep theirs, you keep yours. And so you want to get rid of it, don't you, Peter? Because what happens is if you were to come and fall on your knees and you were to say, oh, I could never repay the debt that I owe you. And here I am, and I've got this list of what they owe me. And the idea of giving that up, of actually just shredding that list, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going to cancel it and just get rid of it. No, I can't, because they owe me so much. I've suffered for so long. They've been so hard on me. They've got to pay me what they owe me. I can't give it up. And he said, okay, well, that's like 100 silver coins. Look on the back side of the list. You owe 10,000 70-pound bags of gold. Is it worth the trade? Is it worth it just to say, look, 10,000 70-pound bags of gold that I owe you, and 100 silver coins that they owe me. God, I joyfully say, shred it all. I joyfully say, cancel mine and I cancel theirs, and I can leave here debt-free. You know what's so beautiful about it? It's when Becky made the decision, and Becky was thinking, the reason I brought my list, this is why Becky brought the list. The reason she brought the list is she sat in that little metal chair at the front of that church on the old worn red carpet with the smell of the pews in the room, and she's in this place where she's like, I brought my list here to the church in front of the altar talking to the pastor because I really believe that God's going to say, she owes you. I'll make repay you. I understand you have the right to be bitter. You have the right to be angry. Somebody needs to jump in and get justice for you. And she thought the reason she brought that list was because God wanted to make sure her list got her paid in full for all that was done to her. Does that make sense? And the reality is that God was saying, no, baby, the reason you brought that list is so you could leave here without it. The reason you brought that list is so you could walk out of here and not have to carry the burden of that anger and that bitterness. And guess what? If you would let me, I will cancel your debt. And you don't have to have an excuse for being jealous. You don't have to have an excuse for being greedy. You don't have to have an excuse for being hateful. You don't have to have an excuse for having that murderous thought within your heart. You don't have to, because if you let me, I'll cancel your debt. You can cancel her debt, and you can leave here not being greedy, not being jealous, not being hateful, not being depressed. You can leave here full of joy and full of life. You can leave here debt-free. Wouldn't that be a novel idea? And she took hold of it. And she said, I want to be free. She hurt me so deeply, but I want to be free. And you know what's beautiful is when that servant went out and he had been in a place where it's like, I'm going out thinking I still owe a debt and I got to collect debt from you, everything. When he finds somebody, he grabs them and chokes them. You know what happens when you let him cancel your debt and you let him let you cancel their debt? When you go out and you find somebody who used to owe you, instead of strangle them, you want to get your arms around them and say, I love you. And you owe me nothing. And if they're not repentant and they're messed up, that's between them and God. That's their problem, right? Because God's saying to you, I want you to be free. And once she made the decision to do that, guess what? In all of her life, she was constantly letting people take advantage of her and use her. She enabled people to do all kinds of terrible things because she was always accumulating all this debt. Like, they're going to love me if I'm doing this. And after she forgave and let it go, she was able to set boundaries and tell people, I'm not going to enable you to do this stuff. And so all of a sudden, she's like not helping her husband to keep on drinking. And she's not letting people use her. She's standing up at work and saying, guys, this ain't fair. I'm not getting paid enough. She's actually stepping up, but she's stepping up in love because she doesn't have a debt to collect anymore. She's debt-free. Now, how about you? Here's the thing. We've come to this moment. I want you to know that the greatest joy that you could ever begin to experience is yours today. I promise you. Most people don't get the connection between the debt I owe to God and the debt I've held against people. And it's because of the debt you hold against people that you never truly experience having your debt canceled before God. You are being tortured. You are miserable. You are living a miserable life trying to justify your actions by what somebody else did to you. Trying to get people to pay you what they'll probably never pay you. And God's saying, wouldn't you like to leave your debt free? Wouldn't you like to leave here forgiven and forgiving? Wouldn't you like to leave here without that bitterness in your soul anymore? Wouldn't you like to leave here not being that person anymore and not needing an excuse for being that person? And he says, here's your privilege. I want to forgive you as you forgive them. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, right? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, as we have forgiven our debtors. So this altar is open for knee fallers. And if you don't come forward, I'm going to go like, this is awesome. You're like a rare anomaly among human beings. That there's nobody that you have held something against and hold that record. But if that's the case, praise God. But you got a list here. You don't have to write on it. I'm going to ask the ushers, I'm going to ask you guys at the back to grab those little box of pencils and bring pencils down here and throw them all over the altar. Because somebody may get to the altar down here and want to write some things on this. What they did to me, I just want to write it down. And what I did to God, I want to write that down too. You don't have to, because you can transfer it without even, you know what I'm saying? You know what's on that list. You don't have to, but you may want to write something down, because I'm going to invite you to come and fall on your knees before Him. And having fallen on your knees before Him and seen the greatness of your sin, that you would see the greatness of His grace, and hearing Him have pity on you, compassion on you, cancel your debt and send you away free. And I'm going to invite you over there at the prayer booth. Look on your left and your right at the prayer booth. There are shredders. On prayer booths on both sides, there are shredders. After you've been to the altar, you're not allowed to a shredder until you've been to the altar, just so you know, all right? But That's a lie. You can go to Shredder first, but if you want to, but I want you to drop that thing in and leave here today. You know why you brought that load in with you today? Like Becky, you might think, well, I had all this hurt and God was going to tell me today that he's on my side and these people really wronged me and he'll make them pay. And God's saying, no, baby, you brought that debt in with you today so you could leave here without it. And you could leave here with your debts canceled forever. We invite you as the praise team leads to come to this altar and joyfully before you leave here, drop in that shredder, not just what they owe to you, but what you owe to God, and leave here completely free. Let's stand together. I want to invite you to join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you to come. To the most important person in the room right now, to the most important person in the room, you're here and you know it. I have asked for lots of extensions of time. I've kept saying to God over and over again, just give me a chance, I'll make it up. Just give me a chance, I'll get good enough. Just give me a chance. And you realize today for the first time that he died on a cross so your debt could be canceled completely. You don't owe him anything except deep love and gratitude and a desire to go out and love people like he loved you. You owe him your life lived out in love for him. And so right now, if that's you and you're just saying, I've been asking for extensions of time, I've been asking for macrothumason, but I really need forgiveness. Forgiveness. I want my debt canceled, and Jesus died for me, and I believe it. And right now, I accept the cancellation of all my debts. If I hadn't dropped it into the shredder yet, I will drop it in before I leave here. But my debts, I will leave here without. And I believe Jesus died so I could leave here debt free. And I am so ready to throw in that shredder with that, all the debts I've held against anybody. I am ready to forgive because I am being forgiven. And so right now, I have begun in this moment a new life, a free life, free of the debt of sin, free of the debt of bitterness, forgiven and forgiving. I am a child of God. He is my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my all. And you right now know that's you, and you're saying to him, today's the day that I leave debt free. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know that this begins a new life for you. I promise it begins a new life for you. It began, this precious girl had been in church for her whole life, but her life really began that day. And this begins your new life. And we want to celebrate it. And so if that's you and you've begun that today, I'm going to ask you in just a second to stick up your hand. And look, man, I'll tell you what, if he paid that debt for you, you shouldn't be ashamed a bit to say, he paid that debt for me and I'm leaving here free. If that's you, we're just going to celebrate it. And then after we celebrate it, I'm going to ask you to go back to where that prayer booth is. If you want to drop something in a shredder, drop it. But also there are going to be people over there who would love to talk with you and just encourage you. That's the only other thing I'm going to ask of you before you leave here. So if somebody over here, if this is your day, we want you to just courageously throw up your hand and say, this is my day. Right there you go. And right here. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else down in here? All right. How about up here? Up here in the balcony. Anybody up here? Lift it up high if there's somebody up here. I can't see. All right. How about up in here? Anybody up here? How about over here? Throw it up real high. How about down in here? Is there somebody down in here? This is my day. Be unashamed. Just throw your hand up and say, he set me free today. How about up there? Anybody over there that this is my day? Throw up your hand real high. How about over here? Is there somebody over here that this is my day? All right. How about down in here today? Was my day. He set me free. All right. Want to make sure. Anybody else want to make sure? We have a brand new brother in Christ and a brand new sister in Christ.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.